Good evening. We are now opening the Wednesday, August 7th Discovery, Town of Discovery Bay Community Services Director meeting. Before we get started in the meeting, I would like the board to consider and approve a request of Director Graves to attend the meeting remotely under the emergency circumstances of AB 249.
I'm good with that.
Okay, should we make a motion?
Yeah, a motion.
I make a motion, so I'm all good with it. I make a motion to approve.
You want a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, and with that, we'll do a roll call vote. Oh, no, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Somebody. Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Gateau?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes, thank you, Director.
All right. And now with that, we will do the official roll call with Pledge of Allegiance. Sorry, I just jumped right over that. And Director Gateau, would you lead us in the Pledge of
Allegiance? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Andy, do we need to do roll call over since we already voted?
I think we can say roll call has
been taken.
And we have Director Callahan out.
You just said, you want me to say
it? No, that's fine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Director Callahan is not present.
Okay, yeah. Director Callahan won't be here this evening. And it's good to see you, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
And now, there are some unfamiliar faces here, so that's wonderful. We'd love to have you come and talk. You'll have 3 minutes to talk. The board cannot do a give and take on conversations, but we would encourage you to come up to the podium. Please state your name. And also, if there's anyone, do we have anyone on the phone, Beatrice?
No one answered.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is George Mendes, resident of Discovery Bay. I am a tennis player, and I'm here because I heard that there was a agreement made to convert courts 1 and 2 for pickleball. In our group, we were stunned because nobody ever reached out to us and that was going on. We've been on courts 1 and 2 since the 90s, 80s, and 90s, and for tennis. I have no problem with pickleball, but we would like to keep the tennis on courts 1 and 2. As you know, pickleball was at Cornell Park. We brought it here on two courts for tennis. Now two more courts are going away from tennis. It's fine with us because, from what I hear, pickleball is the fastest growing sport in America. So you guys are, becoming a target because you're going to have 12 pickleball courts, just the two in Cornell. That's going to be a lot more than a lot of other counties have. So that's a plus for Discovery Bay. But I still. I want to get back to the community center. It's for all the residents. And, we've always supported any activity that's done here because you guys are doing a big job. But if we lose courts 1 and 2, then all you're going to have when people drive into the parking lot, all they're going to see is pickleball courts. And so, pickleball courts, right now it's a fad. Rock climbing 5 years ago. Everybody wants the rock climb. You don't hear about it anymore. But if we stay balanced, that's what we're looking for, a balance. And so I ask that you reconsider leaving us on our tennis on course 1 and 2.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can we get the light hooked up for speakers?
Does it need to plug in with this?
on your cell phone timer.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to do that because I don't
see it. I'll run mine. How about that?
Okay.
Can you see it?
Okay. Are there any other, is there anyone else who would like to make public comment about anything that's not on the agenda tonight? Okay, and with that we will close, and there's no one on the phone, correct?
No.
And okay, with that we will close public comment. Now to the consent calendar.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Gateau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye. And now, since it is the first meeting of the month, we have our area agencies and our area partners come in and talk. And I do not believe there's anyone from Diane Burgess's office here tonight or on the phone. No? Please come on up. Lieutenant Yaquez from the Sheriff's Office.
Don't worry, Board. I have plenty to cover for those who are absent tonight. And I actually have, because there's so many great things to highlight tonight, I put together a little PowerPoint so that I can share some photos with you. So the first thing I want to cover is, since we didn't have a regular meeting last month in July, I wanted to revisit the Junior Women's Academy that we hosted in June. And I'd like to thank the board for your support in getting the information out there to the community. We had such a great turnout. It was such a great event. The heat was one thing, but we made the best of it and had a lot of fun. So we had 73 applications. We actually ended up with 63 that attended.
That's great.
That's awesome.
So this is our group photo. All the young ladies in the turquoise shirts are attendees. As you can see, it was a diligent effort on staff's part. We had just as many staff members as we did young ladies. But once again, they had a great time. We're already planning for next year. On July 31st, we held a Stuff the Cruiser event in front of CVS. We collected school supplies for East County residents that are in need since the school year is beginning. We collected various items, as you can see in the trunk there, and then we also collected a lot of monetary donations. So we took that money and we went shopping, and we were able to put together six big boxes of school supplies that we delivered, in fact, today.
That's
to
awesome.
All of the communities in East County, from Bethel Island to Byron. So that was a fantastic turnout for that. Last night, we held the National Night Out. This is an event that's been going on since 1984. We started here in the Lakes, and we made a couple stops and ended our night in Clayton at the Palms Trailer Park. But it was a great turnout. Hoping next year to get a little more community partnership because we had a lot of fun. Once again, it was very warm though. I'd like to have a couple save the dates that you guys can make note of on your calendar. Our second drug take back event of the year and our last one for this year will be on October 26th. Again, we'll be in the Safeway Shopping Center in between CVS and Safeway. Quick and easy, just pull up, drop off, and you're on your way. By the next meeting, I should have some flyers ready to hand out. It's a little early, but I figured you might as well start cleaning out your cabinets now. The next thing I'd like to share with you is the Fall Citizens Academy. We've just opened the application process for that. The Fall Academy begins on September 11th, so I would love to see some East County residents participate in that. And then lastly, since no one from the supervisor's office is here, I'd like to just remind everybody that on August 24th, there is the waste collection event for tires, which is a great opportunity. And then I'd like to move into current business. got a call and actually noticed it on next door that there was a shooting in Discovery Bay. We received a call that we had two residents that were shooting at each other. It turned out that it was BB guns and they were playing tag. So that did generate some interest to my office, but fortunately it was nothing more than some pellet guns activity. And then lastly, I would like to reiterate how wonderful our LPR cameras are. Just last night, this went into action and resulted in an arrest. You may or may not have seen a post from Brentwood Police Department today. They highlighted this case, but I would like to credit our cameras that were recently installed. On Sunday, Brentwood Police Department distributed a information flyer to all local police agencies, which we received, and one of my sergeants, utilizing our cameras, conducted a query of the license plate. The vehicle had traveled through Discovery Bay just prior to the theft. It was a theft at Ulta in Brentwood. And so as a result, he entered the license plate as an alert. So every time the plate hits any of our cameras, it will alert us. So last night, while we were at National Night Out, I got the alert. So I quickly notified the police department, and suspecting that they're coming back to conduct more nefarious activity. So there was a delay in them reaching Brentwood. That's because they stopped in Discovery Bay to commit more crimes. So they actually passed my cameras right in front of Brentwood Police Department. Brentwood found them, stopped them, and not only did they arrest them for the crimes they committed on Sunday, but they had stolen merchandise from our Safeway inside their car. So it kind of benefited us in more than one way. So again, I'm happy to see that the license plate cameras are doing what their intended purpose was. And hopefully, the more we conduct these traffic stops, we can identify. For anyone that didn't see the post on social media today, there's a little bit more information on the screen there. My goal is the more that this information gets out there, that will the activity and lessen the crimes that we are experiencing. So,
but currently, does the LPR only notifies the sheriff's department, or do it notify other departments as well? How's that kind of, can you share that? I'm not sure if that's
sure. So our camera system is internal. However, we have given access to our neighboring agencies such as Brentwood, Oakley, and people that are going to benefit from that information. And they can put their own alerts. So if Brentwood is working a case that has no relevance to the sheriff's office, they can create an alert so that they're notified if a car comes or goes. So it's just another way of utilizing that tool, but that's a great question. We are in the process of getting our camera system linked to California Department of Justice system. So any time a car that is reported stolen, let's say to Stockton police, I may not know about that because it was reported to Stockton, but once those alerts become active, we will get those notifications. So we will definitely start to see a lot more activity once that's up and running.
Yeah, I realize it's not a solution for everything, but it's another tool that you guys have.
Absolutely.
And so it's
it
great to hear that's working.
Well,
that's
good.
Helpful.
Absolutely. Any questions? No?
All right. I think it's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. Although he is not on the agenda since we have a visitor here from code enforcement, Larry, would you like to come up and talk for a minute or two?
Absolutely. Members of the board, my name is Larry Tolson. I'm the interim code enforcement manager for Costa County. Been in this position since November. Our manager that we had is out on leave right now, and I don't know when he's coming back. That would be Joe Lozada. You guys may have heard of Joe before. So anyhow, we have one of our code enforcement officers out here recently got hired on by City of Oakley. So Conrad is no longer working this area. He's working for the City of Oakley. But we have a new code enforcement officer His name is Riley Cathane. I left some business cards with Byron for Riley and for myself. And if you have any questions, give us a call, email us, and be more than happy to reach out or reach back and talk to you about it. The programs that we're working on for Discovery Bay, as I was talking to Byron about, we have in the past done a fall and a spring sweep for RVs and boats in the driveways. So just to reiterate what we do, we handle everything on private property that the sheriff doesn't take care of. The sheriff will deal with public thoroughfare and that type of stuff. We handle everything that's off of the street. So for abandoned vehicles, we administer that program, the ABAT program. And then usually in the spring and in the fall, like I'm saying, when the boats and RVs come out, especially with the boats, people launch them and then they leave the trailers in the driveway. They have good intentions of taking them and putting them in the storage yard or back alongside the house, but they don't seem to get around to it. So twice a year we'll do a major sweep. I'll bring five or six code enforcement officers with me and we'll target the town, the street at a time. Try to help with that. We, like I say, work with anything building or zoning. If my guy out here, Riley, happens to see a life safety situation, such as someone building without permits, he will immediately stop and question them to see if they have a building permit. It's one of our practices. I tell folks, hey, it may be a silly question, but can I take a look at your building permit? A lot of times they have the building permit and all is fine, but the ones that don't, then we have further discussion about how they need to go about getting the building permit. The county doesn't have a noise ordinance as of yet, but if they're, and we deal with a lot of parties that happen out here in the, this East County area, so if there are Airbnb houses that are having large gatherings. Generally, the sheriff will get called. We'll get notified also if they're having huge parties. If they're more than 75 people, they're going to need a temporary event permit. So that's some of the ways we can slow that down also. And all of the Airbnbs are supposed to be registered with the county anyway. So that's, thank goodness they've changed that, because you guys were starting to have a large problem here a while back. I don't know how it's been lately.
It's been a little better this year from my point of view.
Okay.
But,
okay. So, and like I say, my card is up there. Riley's are up there. If you guys have any questions, call me or email me. You can send me pictures. That those always help. The residents can reach out to the code enforcement department. If anybody happens to be listening and wants our direct line, the area, our number is 925-655-2710, and that'll take you right to my clerks in code enforcement. You can also go online at www.cccounty.us/code-complaint. One word, it'll take you right to our code complaint form. The address is also at the bottom of our business cards, and they can fill that out. It gets sent directly into our clerk's desk, and then they put it out to the appropriate code enforcement officer for that area. Do you have any questions?
No, I just have a comment, and they've all heard this before, but on Riley, I've had to contact him a few times about issues, and he has just been on it. I mean, one person called me and they were upset, got a hold of him. He was literally there within 20 minutes. I mean, granted, he was probably right in the area, but it was fabulous. He's a good guy.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I will pass that along to Riley, and I love hearing that about our folks. We have a really good staff, and I'm proud of the work that we do. So,
and it's definitely needed, and we thank you for it.
Well, thank you.
But we know you have a big territory to cover, so
Pardon?
We know you have a very large territory that you have to cover, so we appreciate your support and the support for Discovery Bay.
Thank you.
If there isn't a link on our town webpage, maybe we could put one on there as well.
Any questions for Larry Tolson? No? Okay. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you. It was nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you all.
All right. And next, we have no presentations, so we will be having discussion and possible action. And Greg, are you there? Gregory?
I am here.
Yay.
You guys hear me?
Yes. Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about the closeout of the denitrification project in Discovery Bay.
Woohoo! Probably wasn't appropriate.
It's been a 10-year odyssey for Discovery Bay. This project came up 10 years ago during our first permit renewal 10 years ago. And they wanted us to go build this project, and we begged more time, and they pushed it off as long as they could statutorily, which was 10 years. So here we are. We had to build the denitrification project as part of our permit. And this is the final update. The project is complete, and we thought we'd give the board just a little bit of an update about how it went and what actually happened and how much money did we spend. That's what everybody wants to know, right? So. I'm Gregory Harris, Herb Engineer. I'm a district engineer for the town of Discovery Bay. The project was the denitrification project, and Mississippi Pacific Engineering Constructors was the contractor on the project. And next slide, please. So the important element of this is this was not some minor cosmetic little project. We ripped the heart out of the plant and completely changed how it runs. And we had to do that while it was still running. So it was a very, very complex project, and it took multiple years for us to get this done. The next slide. So you can see the difference between where we started and where we are today. We've got new anoxic basins. We have a new headworks. We have a brand new oxidation ditch. Lagoon number 3, we got a new berm around Lagoon number 3. We found out during the flooding that we needed a berm back there to protect the lagoon, so we fixed that. And then we had some existing oxidation ditches and clarifiers, and sort of there's the entrance to the treatment plant and staircase. So all that got added just at plant 2. Some other things at plant 1 we'll get into. Next slide. So what happened? Well, we had our NPDES permit required us to do this, and so we developed in the master plan the correct process to use. And that created a master plan upgrade project, the denitrification project. We went out to bid, we went to design, and then we went out to bid on that, and Anderson Pacific Engineering Contractors was the low bid contractor for the project. We gave notice to proceed June 2021, that was 3 years ago. 3 years ago, we gave notice to proceed on that. It seemed like a long time ago. Anyway, we were supposed to finish 2 years ago, but we actually finished early this year. February 2024, we finally wrapped it up. So I'll get into some of the reasons why this project took longer than normal. And what did we do? We started up the denitrification process April of last year. Even though it took us a while to get other basins done and other work done, we started up the core process in April of last year. And what was important about that is our permit changed in December of last year. Our permit changed, and we had to have a new process online and meeting permit limits by then. The original contract amount was $16 million. And the total cost spent was about $18.5 million in change orders. That includes change orders. But recall that just 2 change orders, replacing pump station W and installing a bar screen at the inflow pump station, was $1.76 million of that. Also recall in your staff report, not here, but in your staff report, there were 3 other bids for the project. And the lowest of those bids was $19.5 million. So Anderson was very aggressive in bidding this project, and so you got this project and all the change orders for about $1 million less than the next low bid contractor at time of bidding. So this was really a great deal for the town. Next slide. So what happened? Well, the NPDES permit that governs our ag wastewater operations said, hey, we want you to get your total nitrogen to 10 milligrams per liter or less. Prior to the project, we ran around 40 to 50 milligrams per liter of total nitrogen. After the project, the process reduces that nitrogen and we run comfortably between 6 and 7 milligrams per liter of total nitrogen. What does that mean? On a daily basis, we pull 422 pounds of nitrogen out of the old river. And what's important about that is that nitrogen acts as a straight fertilizer. That's where we get our algae bloom from. Not all because it's Discovery Bay, but we contribute our part to it. And so when you think about it, every day the town was putting in 422 pounds of straight nitrogen into the river. That's just like buying fertilizer, pouring it into the old river every single day. That's what we were doing. But we're not doing that anymore. It's much less. The process started up without issues, without a hitch. No upset since then, started the process. It's been operating great. Next slide. So it's functioning great, but we had a lot of challenges to build this thing. The biggest of which is we just ripped the heart out of the plant and we got to maintain the whole process in while it's working. So we got to take everything offline piece by piece and bypass around it and then build our process and then put it all back together. So we had to do that over and over again. So it was a very long project. We had extensive bypassing of the project, very deep excavations, high groundwater the whole time, dewatering wells the whole bit. And you might well remember a little thing called COVID that happened right beforehand. And what was important about that is COVID created this huge supply constraint problem right at the beginning of our project. So, you know, we had COVID, construction team got COVID, we had vendors canceling orders, site gate vendor canceled the order, we had pipe and fittings that were just not available. We had to just buy something else. And we had those challenges all the way through the project. And you also might remember social distancing, remember that, guys? That started at the beginning of our project. You got to build stuff. You got to talk to people. You got to be in the field. Everyone's wearing masks, and it's 100 degrees outside, and we're all wearing masks, and it wasn't possible. Also, you know, we replaced all the existing rotors as part of the project, but rotor number 3 didn't want to wait, and it broke in the middle of the project a year ahead of time. So we had a broken shaft. We had to try and put it back together. We rerouted the shaft, and then it broke again. And then we had to rent an aerator for 9 more months so that we could keep the process going until we could get over to it to get it replaced in time. You might remember how much rain last January. Well, those weather flooded us out and slowed us down, and that we had all a lot of weather delays on that. And then we got into plant number 1, and it's like we have in your bathroom when you find out the dryer about, right? So we found the pump station W. We found other things that were on our plan. It's all fixed up now, but we had to take it all. Next. So, just some photos here. Here you can see the deep excavations that were part of this excavation is 20 feet deep into the ground. The base slab on that structure is 3 feet thick. The walls are 18 inches thick. And the steel is so thick you can walk on it. That's what we're doing down in that photo, walking on top. Here we see the photo where the water is. It's when we fill the tank full of water, we see if it leaks. And if there's any leaks, we repair those things. So this was anoxic basin 4, which was the new basins that were added to make the new process work out. Next. We also added oxidation number 4 so that we could decommission plant number 1. We took and replaced the oxidation into plant number 1 that was in serious trouble. We've built a new oxidation ditch at plant number 4. So now all the wastewater treatment fire is at plant 2. All the redundancy is at plant 2. All the operations are at plant 2. And now we can actually function like a single treatment plant, flip between processes, do maintenance on all these plants, and have the redundancy all in one location to make this process easier. As part of this, we have to dig a big racetrack. So this is only about 6 feet deep. We dig a big racetrack. Then we come back and pour concrete back in. Then we add our rotors and our concrete and our fence in, and you get the finished product there in the bottom ground. Next. So anoxic 3, we were building anoxic 3 you might remember, we had a water line break. It flooded the whole thing 7 feet deep with water. All the equipment's underwater, the whole thing. We had to drain it all out, start over again. You can see how muddy the soil is. Imagine to put 7 feet of water on top of it, and then going back in there and trying to fix that. So that took some time. Then we got it done. There's a new basin, walls all built. It's just a lot of patience and perseverance. Next. We also had some movement in one of the existing oxidation dishes. Oxidation dish number 3 moved about an inch in 2 directions. That was a surprise. We don't really know why it moved, but it did. So we had to do some repairs in the dish, and we picked that up as part of this project. Yeah. Some of the other things that we fixed, we had a new headwork. We used to only have 1 screen at the headworks, and some board members might remember we had an emergency like 7 years ago where the screen broke. They couldn't screen the wastewater, and it was going to overflow, and we had all these problems. So we had an emergency purchase to try and get a new screen. We solved that problem. We raised the channel a foot. We added a new partial flume, and now we have 2 brand new stainless steel screens and a new compactor. So if one thing breaks, we have redundancy, and the thing will operate properly, and it won't be a big emergency with everybody running around trying to fix it. It sounds minor, but if the screen blinds, the water can't get through the screen to get into the rest of the treatment plant, and it overflows on the ground. So it's a big deal if the screen doesn't work properly. Next. We were doing rehab at Inflow Pump Station. We got in there, and lo and behold, the photo on the left, the piping had come apart, and those are wastewater rags that have pushed up through the piping. They're coming out the side of the piping, and that is not good. And so we had to take all those fittings apart, take all that apart, replace the piping, and that's what you see in the bottom right. We also went ahead and did some check valves and some of the piping on the top of the structure. That's part of the rehab work that we had to do. And the reason that wasn't addressed is because pump station W wasn't functioning properly. And we had no backup. So even though we know we're having problems, they were going on for years. We knew about it, but we couldn't physically get in there to fix it because we had no backup. So as part of this project, we were going to rehab pump station W. Then we found out it needed replacement, so we replaced pump station W. And now we can do work on the inflow pump station. We can, if this problem happens again, we can just turn it off and go down there and fix it. But we could not do that before this project. Next. And then here's our buddy, pump station W. So this is the original pump station that predates everything in Discovery Bay. This pump station was the first thing built in all of Discovery Bay. And we had been relying on it to back up the inflow pump station. We're talking about late 1969, this thing got built. Well, when we went in there to try and rehab it for the 5th time, the rebar was gone, it wasn't going to go, and the contractor refused to edge it because of safety reasons. Our structural engineer looked at the photos, condemned it, and we had a big motion before the board to replace it. We now have a brand new pump station Y, change the name, pump station Y. New year, new letter, and it now packs up our inflow pump station so that we can use either pump station and do proper maintenance on either pump station. Next. And then, in the middle of it, we had rotor 3 fail. You can kind of see in the first photo on the upper left that the shaft is hanging down. You see in the second photo, the shaft completely sheared off. We re-welded it all together, put it all back together, thought we were good, and two weeks later, it broke again. We gave up on it, and we rented an aerator, because we're going to replace this aerator, but we couldn't get to it yet. So we rented an aerator for 9 months while we finished the rest of the project before we could come around and shut this thing off. But we survived, and we got through it, and we kept the process going. Next. While we were doing work out there, we came upon the aerobic digester here and realized, hey, wait a minute. Those posts, those yellow posts are light poles, and they're not supposed to be in the pond. You don't put light poles in the water. They're supposed to be in the bank, and the bank had completely eroded. So we came back, and on an emergency basis, we drained the pond and rebuilt that bank and put rock in front of there. And now you see that the bottom left, the light pole is back behind the base where it's supposed to be, because you don't normally put your lights in the water. You put them in the bank, not the water. But that's all fixed now. January 2023. Wettest I've seen. I've been in the district engineer for Scarlet Bay for 24 years. Do you believe that? I ain't never seen it rain like this. And this is a whole plant, all flooded. By the way, this is what convinced us that we needed a better berm around pond number three. And we did that also as part of the project. But not only did we have to get rid of all the water, not only did it slow everything down, not only did we have to fix the lagoon three, it ruined a lot of our asphalt. We had extra asphalt we had to replace as part of the project. Next. That's it. So, 3 years of construction, 10 years of a project, it worked. There you go. 422 pounds of nitrogen out of the delta. Mission accomplished.
Great accomplishment for everyone involved, especially some of the people here. Any questions from the board? Kevin?
I'll just make a couple of quick comments. And that would be that in, for the longevity that I've been on board, these are problems that we were never ignoring. These are problems we knew we had. But because of the way Discovery was built, and I'm talking, there's probably been eight different developers before Hoffman that came in and actually finished developing Discovery Bay. It's been a hodgepodge. This is causing, going to cause some problems into the future. It's been one developer will do it and hook it up there, another developer do it, hook it up there. So it's not that we weren't being proactive, it's just that we have to address things as they occur. So I want to just thank Berwyn Engineering, Anderson, Veolia, for being very successful in bringing us up to a point where we now have a very secure system.
I'd just like to say that, hey, this presentation made it really easy to understand how we spent the money and why we spent the money. And so it was a very good, for me personally, just a representation of where the funds went and why. And that 422 pounds seems very impressive of a number that we've accomplished for $18 million. But
it's wonderful.
I do have just one question, though. With the addition of the oxidation dish number four, did that allow us to have more capacity, or was there any other offshoots that came about because of this?
So, the oxidation dish number four was predominantly replacing the one we decommissioned in oxidation at plant one. So we had three ditches before, we have three ditches now.
Okay.
But because everything's integrated better, and everything's at plant one, our redundancy is now vastly improved, and we're actually able to use it because it was kind of stranded over there at plant one and we couldn't use it properly. In talking with Stantec, who did the master plan, they feel there is some additional capacity, not enough for Jacquini, but there is some additional capacity that also got out of this project. So you got better redundancy, and I'll say this, the owner really couldn't do it. Like, they couldn't operate the plant split any longer. You know, it just wasn't doable. And now it is. So now they have the redundancy. They've already flipped between ditches so they can do maintenance on the other ditch. So they've already turned on a ditch, turned off the ditch, moved all the water over, emptied the ditch, and they can do maintenance now. They could not do that before. And we also got some capacity out of it. Not enough for 2,000 more homes, but we got some capacity out of it. And, that's a good question.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Any public comment?
No.
Excellent. We'll now close public comment. And let's come back to the board.
I make a motion to accept the project completion closeout summary report.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Gatto?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Oops. Aye.
Vice President Grubb.
Aye.
Aaron, is the influent pump station at plant one?
Yes.
Or
yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Good job, Gregory. Now on to the next one. For discussion and possible action regarding approving Stantec Consulting Inc.'s proposal to update the town's wastewater operations and maintenance manual.
Okay, as you know, we just made a bunch of changes at all of our wastewater facilities, especially plant two. Under our NPDES permit, we're required by law to have an updated LMN manual. People change minor things at treasure plants all the time and don't necessarily update their own MIL. But we have completely changed the process. We've completely changed all the equipment. We've completely added a whole pump station at Plant 1 and a bar screen at Plant 1. And we have also added a whole new pump station in the wastewater facilities for plantations. So I was going through the O&M manual and realized that something like 18 of 25 chapters have all changed in that manual. And we need to update it. And especially because the plant runs differently than what the manual described right now. It's like it's a different process. That's why we did it all. So we need to update that manual. Stantec last time updated the O&M manual and put it online for us so it's accessible online to staff. And we got a proposal for them for $90,000 to update the O&M manual. And then Herbert would assist for about $10,000 organizing documents and assisting them in reviewing their documents when the manual's done. And so that's the project, and we're requesting that the board approve that so that we can get an updated O&M manual for Veolia to properly train their staff when they come on. What we have done for training right now is I sat Veolia down in the chair and said, this is how you run the thing. But, you know, obviously we can't keep doing that, right? And they got to train their new people, and they got to have it on record, and we're required to have it. So our recommendation is that we get an updated O&M.
Any questions from the board?
Just to note, it came to water, wastewater, and you know this is something that we have to do. It's 90,000 plus 10% contingencies, so it's super extensive and is really important to our operation.
Why is it so expensive?
Because it's very technical and it has all the drawings of everything, and it has to be submitted for government work. Did I hit that right, Gregory?
That's correct, and the other thing is, it's very labor intensive. You got to track down all the equipment, you describe all the equipment, you tell them how to maintain that equipment. You describe the process, you tell them how to maintain the process, you give them troubleshooting guidelines, you give them emergency guidelines, you give them startup and stop procedures, and you do that for everything that's changed. And then, as she said, there's new drawings for the pump stations that aren't there. All of the equipment is new drawings, all of the rotors are new drawings, and even though we'll provide those drawings, they have to take them and massage them, get them in the manual, highlight the colors, get a border, I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's basically just really labor intensive, and it's all basically engineering and engineering tech labor to do.
Any public comment?
No comment.
With that, we will close public comment and bring it back. Or board action.
I make a motion to approve staff recommendations.
Second.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Gatto?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye. All right. Thank you again, Gregory. Do appreciate it.
Okay, I think I'm done today. So you guys have a good meeting.
Good night,
thank
Gregory.
You. All right, now we will go on to H and the manager's report.
So I'll be giving the community center and recreation updates tonight. So just some brief updates on recreation. Swimming lessons continue to be very popular. By the end of August, we have offered 130 swimming lesson classes.
That's wonderful.
Of the 109 wow. classes been taught so far, more than half were completely full.
That's awesome.
So yeah. So evening lessons will continue through the end of August. Our first ever mermaid school is starting Saturday, September 14th from 10:30 to 12. That's a $35 class, ages 5 to 17 years. So we put some flyers on our social media, and so you can see one also on our back video screen back there. Weekend public recreation of swim continues on Saturday and Sundays from 12 to 6, and that will continue until September 29th. Water aerobics has continued to grow in popularity, and we will continue until the end of October with water aerobics. Free adult lap swim will also continue until the end of October. Those days and times are Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And then our very popular flick and float, the movie will be Toy Story, and that last flick and float will be held Friday, August 16th. And that is the end of our report.
Okay. thank you. Would you like to go into the general manager?
Yes, I would. Policy updates. So I have some policy updates that will be coming to future internal ops and board meetings. We're revising some of the board policies, personnel manual, and some other policies that are necessary. So you look forward to some of those coming to the board. Also, we had some fire mitigation notices from the fire department. We've handled all of those. Our entire staff got together, so those water, wastewater, and Samansky, to jump on those notices and clear brush to mitigate any fire hazards. Those are now on our schedule for next spring to just start maintaining and taking all those weeds down to make sure those areas are clear that we were notified.
What were the areas?
Oh, I don't recall.
Oh,
some open brush areas, some areas that were behind where pump stations are, things like that. So we just had to go in and get some cleanup, some ditches, some landscape areas that were just overgrown.
Okay, thank you. Any comments? Any questions? All right, now let's go on to director's reports. The finance meeting, Ashley?
So we had a great finance meeting. We had Margaret here, which was great. She went through our fiscal year 2024 annual presentation and reserve report, kind of showed us where we were, broken down by each zone, revenues, and expenses. We also talked about approving the capacity and connection accounting report, so that will probably be coming to a board meeting soon.
Yes, it
will. And then she had brought up discussing having a public, like a PR firm, come out and do some communication stuff. That actually came to both the water, wastewater, and the finance committee. And that was about it.
Wonderful. Water, wastewater committee meeting?
So water, wastewater committee meeting.
There you go.
Essentially everything that we just voted on was what came to the water, wastewater committee meeting. And then we also discussed the possible feedback regarding communication consultant, which will probably at some point come to the communications meeting. So that's all I have.
Excellent.
Do you want to add anything to that, Kevin?
No, that's great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And then next, it looks like we have a legal report.
Okay, I will give that report for right now, and he'll back me up if I need help. But I just wanted to let the board know that the mobile modular contract has been completed by legal, and it's been signed, sent back, and stamped. It's ready to go.
Awesome.
We have our first meeting with mobile modular, or I do, on Friday. So it's just our kickoff meeting on our next steps. So more to come, so listen for some updates from Water Wastewater Committee and board meeting updates that will be moving through the process. So I'm really excited to get this started, and we'll go from there.
Yay, that's great news.
That is, that's wonderful. Any future agenda items? No? Well, I guess with that, we will adjourn the meeting at 7:49.